Funny thing is, I know him so well because he's my son. Another one. I have four sons. You guys are just in for it, that's all. It's Father's Day. My sons are providing four-fifths of the reason I can be called dad. So I want to talk to you and read you something from Peter. Peter is in New Zealand with Youth with a Mission, and it's been one of the great privileges and honors of my life to hear how God is speaking to this young man and changing him. Because when he went, as many of you might have known, he was really nervous, really scared is a good word for it. He was really scared. And we can relate to that because when we get asked to do something new and different, it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. And so he went. And as he's been there, God has really been touching him and talking to him. So this is what he wrote. On the back table, I made like 20 copies of this. And the picture you see there is their outreach team. Their outreach team has about 3 weeks before they leave for Papua New Guinea and an unnamed other country. That country shall go unnamed until he's prepared to tell us himself which country it was and why that had to be kept back. But there are countries in the world where you don't just go toddling in, flash your passport and say, hey, I'm glad to be here. Oh, by the way, I've got some Bibles. There are countries where it's very dangerous. And I think sometimes about having a young man called to extreme discipleship training. And I go, my son? I know if it was me, I'd be going, no, give me the wimpy one. Give me the laid back one. I've already done this. I'm good. But God doesn't see us as good in that way. Did you know the Bible says there's, and Jesus is talking, he says there's only one good? And it was kind of funny because he was. But he said there's only one that's good, and that's God. So the trick of it was that he's saying, you're calling me God. Do you recognize that? And Jesus is God. But this is what Peter wrote. He wrote, quoted Proverbs 17, verse 3, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Now you have to know Pete to know that that's quite a statement. He writes, looking back at all the growing and hard times, I realize God has been testing me and refining my heart to resemble his. It's like he has let me feel all the spiritual warfare to see if I would fold and give in to the desires of the flesh and in distress and depression. But he is genuine and a good father. He is showing me how to walk in the Spirit and live in complete freedom. It's so worth all life's storms and trials. Last night, he was speaking to me about giving up all my control and going all in for his will and how far I'm willing to go. He brought to my mind all the things I put value in and asked me if I had to give up everything for him if I would, and I said yes. For there is nothing that I could hope to possess that is greater than my longing desire for him. I couldn't obtain a greater life or treasure than Jesus. In about 4 weeks, we'll be going on outreach to two nations, one country I can't mention, and the other is Papua New Guinea. It'll be a time of going out to preach and giving out as many Bibles as we can. Jesus is going to be moving in the hearts of his children who don't know him yet and give hope and true freedom. I'm super stoked to see what he's going to do. Please be praying for me and my team. And we all found out the outreach will cost more than we thought, so please be praying about partnering with me in prayer and financial support. Thank you all so much for helping me get here. And if anyone needs prayer, please message me, and I'll be praying for your needs as well. Now, I did a little figuring and because of the exchange rate and all that, so the additional amount that he needs right now is at about $3,000 American, not New Zealand, American. And if you want to contribute to that, if you want to be a part of that, make your check payable to the Cornerstone, and then in the memo section, put Peter, YWAM, YWAM, in the memo line. If you just put Peter Leonard, that'll work too. We don't keep any of that. We don't keep one penny of it. He gets every bit of money that is contributed. But he's going to need about $3,000 to do the rest of this. And they do airfare and all sorts of stuff. It's kind of crazy. But I started thinking about it. Many of you have traveled on what is called the GSA rate. And a lot of times we forget what that means. The U.S. government actually assigns a value to how much it costs for food and lodging in every area of the United States. Every area. And right now, the highest amount for food, which is most of our cities, by the way, is about $61 a day. And then sometimes we get the idea, well, you know, they're missionaries. They ought to go out for $5. You can't get anything for $5. That's one of the things you have to remember. So be praying. He's asking for prayer. And it's really important that we pray. Really important. And then for some of us, we're going to be doing giving to provide for the needs there. And you look at that team, and I look at all those faces. One of them I know pretty well. The other ones I don't know. And I'm looking going, those are all the extreme DTS people. And they're going to a country that none of us would be allowed into. Doing something that none of us maybe, perhaps, except for maybe a few, might even try. I was interested to read in Nepal, they arrested four people just this last week. Arrested four people. One of them is an American woman. And they asked, what's going to happen? And they said, the American woman is going to be kicked out of the country. The other three will be prosecuted. I recently saw a message of Wayne Cordero speaking to a bunch of Chinese fellows in a building, and they were pastors from all over China. And he asked how many people they were responsible for. 20 million people. And then he asked a question. He says, well, what happens if they catch you? They said, we're arrested and sent to hard labor for 3 years. He said, how many of you have had that? And 70 or 80% raised their hand. They'd already done that. So what I'm telling you that for is that we live in a very peculiar place in a very peculiar time. You can talk to others about Jesus Christ, and nothing bad happens to you except maybe they don't like you. Gee, I got people that don't like me for other reasons. I don't know about you, probably. So don't be afraid to share the gospel. Don't be afraid to enter in. If you're not supposed to go, that's fine, but don't be afraid to enter into what God has. I'd like you to see this video, please.
Okay, dads, let's go ahead and get started, guys. Now, some of you have already let me know how uncomfortable you were in last week's meeting. So tonight, we're going to try to respect each other's boundaries.
What?
Tonight, we've also got a guest with us, David. And would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm David.
David.
What's up, David?
How many kids do you have, David?
None. At least, not at the moment. My wife is pregnant, and she should be delivering any day now.
That's great.
Super.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Who would like to go first? Anyone. Anyone.
I'll go.
Perfect. Todd, yes.
My daughter and I went to the mall, and she said she wanted to take the stairs to the second level. And I said, I don't trust stairs, because they're always up to something.
Todd, I'm sorry that happened. Okay. I encourage you to try to resist the urge to make jokes like that.
My turn? Okay. Can I go? Okay. Yesterday, actually, my daughter got home and she asked me how my day was. And I said, well, a guy tried to sell me a coffin, but that's the last thing I need.
Jerry, that joke is dead on arrival.
Because it's the last thing I need.
David, how about you?
Oh, I didn't say
this is a safe zone. Just jump on in.
Yeah, I guess I'm just scared of being a dad. I'm afraid I'm gonna start telling bad jokes just like my dad.
Well, it might be in our nature. We can fight against it.
Hey, speaking of nature, I tried to catch some fog yesterday. I missed. M-I-S-T.
Oh, yeah. You're a monster. This is where the boundary is.
I'm done.
This is where you are.
Hello? Really? Okay, yeah, no. Yeah, I'll be right there. That was Julie. Her water just broke. I guess the baby finally ran out of womb. I'm gonna be a dad.
Don't you think you should be going?
Oh, yeah.
So I told my wife she drew her eyebrows too high. She seemed surprised.
You know, it's Father's Day, and it's true that dads can have some of the worst jokes in the world. I remember people talking about my friends in high school and elementary school, and my dad would let loose with these jokes. And my dad would always do that. If you knew him, he'd do that. And they go, oh, it's a Mr. Leanhard joke. So anybody says that, I'm not Mr. Leanhard, that's my dad. Well, it's true. It is true that dads can have some of the worst jokes in the world, and they always laugh at them. Have you ever noticed that? Doesn't matter if anybody else thinks it's funny. They do. There's a lot more to that than to being a dad than that. First off, you can't be a dad without having kids. Now, I can tell you that even if you haven't had a biological child, we talked a little bit about that, you can be a dad in the lives of other kids. I've gotten phone calls from some of these sons of mine, sons of the faith, but not my biological kids. It's very moving. It deeply moves me to get these calls and sweet words. Nevertheless, being in the daily trenches with babies and then little kids and then teenagers, then adult children. See, one of the little lies that people will tell you is that once your kid reaches 18, you're done raising them. Absolutely false. Absolutely false. It doesn't happen. It's different. That's false. If you're doing that, you really need a special unction of the Holy Spirit. Now, the unction is a theological word. That means a whole bunch of. You need a whole bunch of the Holy Spirit in your life just to survive. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says something really interesting. And dads, you know, we have dad scriptures, but you can't get the dad scripture without understanding the kid scripture. So it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, see, we're not left out, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, I have to tell you the truth here. I can remember frustrating my kids, even provoking them to wrath. I won't tell you which one, but one time I thought it'd be really funny to kind of wrestle one down, tickle them a bit, and then keep them on the ground. And then it got to be where it wasn't funny at all, and if the kid got loose, I was going to be severely harmed. So I said what one time I heard this line from Cliff, and he said that he went to a dentist, and he looked at him and said, now, we're not going to hurt each other, are we? And as I had this child down on the ground, realizing that this is probably not the wisest thing I've ever done, and I'm confessing it to you very freely. Now, I didn't hurt him, but one of the things I did is I had to come to another place. I had to repent to the Lord, and I had to repent to them, too. And it's just killer. But it's really good. But it's killer. See, the need for respect is so woven into a man's nature. It's a really short journey for that need for respect to become a demand. And then the demand to become pride, and then pride then destroying everything between the child and their father. You have to really, really watch out. And dads, you've probably known someone that made that speech to you about how you need to take control, you need to do this, you need to do that. They've always got something to tell you, and they don't have any kids. I got news for you. Being a dad's not an easy job. It's interesting that Colossians 3:18 through 21 says almost a condensed version of all that we just read. It says this, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives, do not be bitter toward them. Good words. Then children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Nice. Then, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Provoking and discouraging takes a lot of forms. It also takes a form on your notes if you're writing it down. You know, provoke your children, discouraged. You want to make sure you write those down. But the idea is that dads, we see something about an instruction to wives, and we see an instruction to husbands, and then we see an instruction to children. And then it kind of narrows down on this father thing. Do not provoke your children. I wonder why in two different sections of Scripture it actually mentions that. Probably not a real chance of it happening, right? No, it's probably because it's likely to happen. It's something that happens as a guy who's, we've already arrived, right? We've done all this stuff. We've been the kid. Now we're the alpha male. We are the adult. And I enjoy being a man. I enjoy a lot. I'm 6'5". There was a time when I was a lot smaller than that. My mom is very thankful for that, I can assure you. And I like being tall and big and all those things, but I can tell you something. It's very, very, very humbling. There are things that I can't do.
There are lots of things that regular people can do, but dads can't. Dads can't pitch a baseball very hard or hit one very far. When dads play hide and seek, they always get found, but they have a hard time finding you. They aren't very good wrestlers. Dads lose at checkers and cards and almost every other game. Dads like to go fishing, but they don't like to go alone, and they need extra practice baiting the hook. Dads don't seem to be able to drive very fast. Dads seem to have trouble holding onto their money. Dads can't see you hiding your lima beans at dinner time or feeding them to the cat. Dads like to give baths, but they can't help getting all wet. Dads can't read a book by themselves, and dads really need to be kissed goodnight at bedtime. There are so many things dads can't do, it's a wonder they make it through life at all. But dads can't give up. No matter how tired a dad gets or how hard life gets, a dad never quits. Thanks, Dad. Happy Father's Day.
I guess we're in the deep of it, guys. We can't quit. We all know that the Bible, what the Bible says about our fathers is nothing compared to the incredible truth that we have a Heavenly Father. And that is really, really good news. Some of you didn't have good dads, okay? They messed up big time. They weren't there for you. There's a lot of things there. But we have a Heavenly Father, God the Father, who loves us with a perfect love. We can't forget that. You know why we can't forget it? Because even if you had the quintessential good dad, he wasn't perfect either. None of us had a perfect father except our Heavenly Father. So when you consider a perfect father and then a perfect son or daughter, we can have questions and misunderstandings on our part. That's what we get out of Hebrews 12, starting with verse 3. For consider him, think about him, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. It's the third warning I've seen about being discouraged. You've not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. Another discouraged. So if our earthly father was to rebuke us, a lot of times we really took that to heart. We kind of wear it in a way. We have a hard time getting rid of that. And yet we read here that God, our heavenly father, actually rebukes us. And you go, what's that? It says don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. Well, that's kind of weird. Because, see, it's a study in contrast that we human fathers are not to discourage our children, but that our Heavenly Father rebukes us, and then we have a choice not to be discouraged by him doing that. That's weird, but it's true. It might just be that our idea of a perfect father is not perfect, but comfortable to us. It reminds me of a boy that I knew, not one of mine, by the way, who was raised by his mom. Now, there's nothing more courageous than a mom who works to be both mom and dad in a boy's life. And there's probably nothing that is more likely to be incomplete. This boy knew how to play his mom. He could play her like a fiddle. No offense, sir. He could play her, and he was totally content to be a couch potato. In fact, if you talked to him any length of time, you found out that what he really valued was being a couch potato. That was really hard for a lot of us. He loved to just lie there and he'd be in front of his TV. His idea of a perfect father was someone who would just let him do what he wanted to do. Isn't that amazing? Yet our Heavenly Father rebukes us from just such desires. He pushes us into greater and greater pain and greater growth. Because you don't get one without the other. Even then, we're not to be discouraged by his rebukes. As we read in Revelation 3:19, this is what God says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Now, some of us, we work that around backwards. We want to, like, no trouble. Hey, no, yeah, I messed up. We've seen basketball games, you know, foul, raise your hand. Okay, admit it. Good, we're done. That is not what God's calling us to. Because, see, it says that as many as he loves, not those that he is not pleased with. And we get this really weird idea about God that he's looking for this perfection thing, which none of us make. And, of course, I'm talking to dads, but, hey, moms, sorry, but all of us. Now, it's really hard for a young man to think of his mom, and she's not perfect. She's always the most beautiful. You doubt this. Talk to your little kids. They'll tell you. They'll tell you straight up. But God loves us, and he loves us enough not to let us sit at the spiritual couch and be a spiritual couch potato. He basically rebukes and chastens us. Now, chasten is an old word. Basically, it means spank. Now, in our day and age, hey, that's child abuse. Well, not really. Not when it's God. Because God brings us through all sorts of things to a place where we really know him. A place where we choose him. Now, you and I, as earthly dads, we're often surprised by the difficulty of raising these children entrusted to our care. It's really tough. But we forget the prodigal's father who, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, now, I'm not reading the whole story. I didn't even give you the Bible verse. It's in Luke 15. This thing about the prodigal son. And it's amazing to me that the prodigal son, the son, came up with this speech while he's starving. He came up with the speech. And the father kind of ruins the whole thing at first because he, you know, runs. He's got compassion. He fell on his neck. He kissed him. And the son says to him, the speech, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And you know how much difference that made? That much. Like, that much. It made no difference at all. Because the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe, put it on him." The best robe? Got news. Kid didn't deserve the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Ring is belonging. It means you're part of the family. Sandals, you're not poor. Bring the fatted calf here. They're always preparing a calf, kind of like a veal in a way, but, you know, preparing a calf that at any minute when somebody special comes by, you kill the fatted calf. If you really get into this story, you find out that fatted calf didn't belong to this dad. That's pretty amazing. "Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. They had a party. This is the most amazing thing because we as dads look at how difficult this is. And here's a prodigal son. The guy takes his inheritance and goes and spends it on prostitutes and spends it on, you know, you name it. And then he's starving. And he figures he'll come back. And it's really tough for us as dads not to look at that and say, well, He doesn't deserve anything, but if he wants to come back and work, we'll let him do it. That's not what happened. Did you notice this? It's not what happened. Well, you know, I'm not just going to be pushed around. I'm not going to be taken advantage of. I'm not going to be codependent. I got a little news for you. The word codependent doesn't appear in the Bible. Concept, you can find. But the word doesn't appear. I think there might be a reason for that. We throw the word around really a lot. But may I ask the question, which one of us has been perfect enough that we didn't deserve to come back and not have the ring, not have the sandals, not even get the real food, just eat the pig slop? How many of us really deserve better than that? And the answer is, not a single one of us. So, in loving a child, your child may disappoint you a whole lot. Your child may disappoint you for years and years and years. Your child may disappoint you. You say, but I don't even have kids. You got children. Hey, dads, that's why I had you stand. There wasn't an older guy, you know, above 20 years old, that wasn't standing up in this place getting prayer. Because we've all touched the lives of some young person. Ladies, moms, other ladies, you've done the same thing. You've done the same thing. But a lot of times we interpret in ourselves that we are supposed to catch on to this whole business and it means perfect, but it doesn't. It doesn't mean that. So we're actually able to be free of our own perfection as a qualifier for the Father's love. Guess what? He loves us without that qualifier. Now, if God loves us that way, then the easiest way to put this sounds really rude. It sounds like what we used to call greasy grace or sloppy agape. And that is this, that you don't do it perfect, and yet somehow God still loves you and extends grace to you and blessing. And we go, well, that's not quite right. Excuse me? See, unless you are not perfect, you don't need grace. And yet, God is in the business of providing grace to us. That's exactly why this business of raising children is so hard.
Hey, Dad. So you asked how it was going. And the truth is that the answer wouldn't fit in a text message or even in a greeting card. As it turns out, there's a lot I didn't know about being a dad. For one thing, I didn't know you could get excited about only getting up once in the middle of the night. I didn't know about the quantity of the dirty diapers. Or the quality for that matter. I didn't know how stressed out you could be coming home from work. I didn't know about the financial strains of having a family. Dad, I didn't know you and Mom went through all that for me. I didn't know how wrestling with me would make your back hurt. I didn't know how precious peace and quiet could be. I didn't know how challenging it would be to steer a young heart toward what's right. I didn't know you said no to so many other things so you could say yes to me. I didn't know how much becoming a dad could flip your world upside down. I didn't know how much you loved me.
Hey, Dad, you don't know when your child will need you or how they will need you. There are so many helicopter parents, free-range parents. I found out that's the opposite of a helicopter parent. Monster parent, that's the Japanese term for a helicopter pilot or a parent. Monster parent. And other types of wrong-headed parenting out there. You may feel you're not doing your child right, unless you protect them from every possible consequence. I have three words for you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just like you, your child needs healthy consequence. The experiencing of healthy consequence helps all of us to continually hold on to the Lord, even in the tough times. And isn't that kind of what we experience in our lives? Isn't that how we grow? After all, unless your child learns from healthy consequences, they will not understand what your role in their life really is. They won't understand it. It may be said that the best dad is the dad who says the uncomfortable words, so that their child isn't permanently uncomfortable with the words of God.
Dad?
Dad?
Hey, Dad.
I want to be rich and good looking.
I want to be rich and good looking.
I'll need you to challenge me.
I'll need you to challenge me.
To be rich in good works.
To be rich in good works.
I'll be focused on building my career at all costs.
I'll need you to show me how to put my family ahead of work.
I'll seek my own comfort and joy.
I'll seek my own comfort and joy.
I'll need you to teach me to honor God.
I'll need you to teach me to honor God with my time and resources.
I'll want to avoid hard conversations.
I'll want to avoid hard conversations.
I'll need you to show me how to speak the truth.
In love.
In love.
I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd.
I'll find myself wanting to please the crowd.
I'll need you to remind me that I should obey God.
That I should obey God.
I'll look for happiness in many different places.
I'll need you to show me that joy is found in following Christ.
I'll want to treat girls how the world tells me to.
I'll need you to show me how to honor them with all my actions.
I'll find myself stuck in bad habits.
I'll need you to show me the way out.
I'll need you to show me the way out.
I'll need you, Dad.
I'll need you, Dad.
I need you, Dad.
I need you, Dad.
To point me toward Christ when no one else will.
To point me to Christ when no one else will.
It's kind of hard, doesn't it? Because, see, we can talk about all the stuff, and I don't know about you, but I even saw a competition, and what you had to do, you had to be a kid, you had to send in a picture of your dad, and if it was rough enough, and I don't know why the competition would be that your dad has to look rough enough, then Columbia Sportswear would give them a $500 makeover in clothes. Now, I personally think that might be really cool. And my kids and my wife would probably think that is really a great idea. In fact, maybe we don't even have to let him win. We'll just do it. Just get rid of those old pants and shorts. You know, I had some shorts There were cutoffs from when I was in high school, and my wife finally threw them away. And they weren't wearing out. They never would have worn out. They were the type of material that never would wear out. And for some unknown reason, she decided to get rid of them. I don't understand why. Your kids need you, Dad. And moms need you too. And they need you to say the stuff that's uncomfortable. They need you to say the things that aren't popular. They need you to say the things that are tough, because nobody else will. You have a very, very, very special place in the life of your kids. And even if you had an upraising that wasn't one of those really good ones, your dad wasn't there for you, you need to be there for your kids. You need to do the right thing. Those are the things that we see about loving your wife, not making her bitter, and those sorts of things. That's still true, very, very true. Trying to raise a family and poke fun at your wife, it doesn't work out too well. Trying to make her miserable, and you're somehow going to raise cute kids. It's not happening. Would you pray with me? Lord, we have to look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith to make us into the people that we need to be, not the people that we seem to be destined to be. May we have the life and the joy and the calling and the purpose of Jesus Christ in our lives, so that as we go through our lives, we might actually make a difference. For all the dads that are here, I pray, Lord, that you would see them, help them to see themselves, rather, as you see them. That they're not there just to be cuddly, and they're certainly not like TV portrays them, where they're all a bunch of mess-ups. But dads are there for a particular reason in the heart and life of their kids. They're the first ones that teach us who God is and how he sees us. Stakes are high. Help us, God, to not be cast to and fro and have to live up to what other people say and all that stuff, but instead to let you guide us. May we know you. May we know you, Lord, even in the fellowship of your sufferings. Because truly, we are not comfortable raising kids. There is no "it is done" moment for us. It never seems to end. May we be the type of father, the type of man who lives like we really know Jesus and like it really matters. And may we hold forth the truth as you give it to us. May we not be afraid of what people might think or what they might say. May we not be people pleasers, but may we be God-fearers, that we would do that which is pleasing in your sight. Pour out your Spirit upon us, God, that we might have the ability to do this, the strength to do it. And give us humility, Lord, that we might understand that we're not to be a replacement for you, but instead, we are to let you live your life through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know what you've got planned for the rest of the afternoon. Father's Day traditionally has some health food in it, lots of salad, no red meat. Nothing like that. That's not true, is it? No, Pete, no, that's not true. No, you're going to have good times, good. I hope you're getting together with your kids or your family. I hope you enjoy your meal. I hope that you enjoy the rest of the day. I understand that I'm going fishing this afternoon with at least one, if not two, of my sons, a bunch of grandkids, and probably two wives just to laugh. That's probably going to happen. Will I catch anything? I don't know. The fish so far haven't been willing to give themselves up. It's very disturbing. But it may happen. But whatever you find to do, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves in the Lord. But don't forget what you've heard, what you've seen. This might be the day where you have to be a little different dad than you've been. It's okay. Sometimes the best way to start a new journey is to not try to fake and finesse a misstep, but to just stop, set your feet again, and do it the right way. Why don't you stand? I'm going to dismiss you, and you're free to go. We have nothing after church today. There's no extra stuff to do. If you want to support Peter, there's time to do that, but please remember his need. Also, if you haven't said hi to Chris, it'd be a great time to do so. One of the things you don't necessarily want to do is have a whole bunch of questions. If you're one of the prayer team members, and we always want to offer prayer to you and make it a time when you can come and receive prayer, this is that time. And so there will be people up here that will pray with you, and they're not going to talk about what you tell them and stuff like that. That's not what it's about. It's actually lifting you up to the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And may he make you the mom and dad, the family member, the family of God that he's called you to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and God bless.